Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take these few remarks from your word and scriptures, and your Holy Spirit do a work in our heart tonight. Lord, we live in such a time. Lord, you placed us in 2024. And Lord, in a day and age where so many are abandoning your word, Lord, many times for the sake of popular opinion or to be fit in with a certain group, Lord, I pray that you'll help us as individuals and as a church to always stand on the word. And Lord, make that our battle cry, so to speak, that we will rally around your word. We will stand on your word forever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, can you put up the words that we just sang, standing on the promises? Can you pop up a verse or so? Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. A lot of theology in there, don't you think? We don't take lightly the words that we sing. Glory in the highest, I'll shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. And then notice what the chorus, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. And it goes through there and details why we're standing on the Word of God and why it's important. Tonight, we're continuing the sermon series that we started, God's Expectations of Us. If you caught that, I think Wednesday night or maybe last Sunday night. In the mornings, we're talking about plotting for Jesus. And in the evenings, we're finishing up, what does God expect of us? Now, you probably heard this sound way too much here lately. If you're listening to the radio or you have your television on, remember that awful sound you hear? To go, and you're like, whoa. And I almost played that. I had it up on my phone, and I thought, that's kind of rude. I don't think I'll do that tonight. You know, it might wake somebody up. No, it might scare them or something. But when you hear that, what do you think of immediately?
Emergency.
Warning! Something needs to be paid attention to here. Well, we're going to find that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Tonight, God's expectations of us, God expects us to stay on the right track. God expects us to stay on the right track. Now, this message will apply to us as individuals, because there's a whole lot of individuals that have gotten off a track. But it appears to me that God is really wanting me to emphasize to you that Oak Mount Evangelical Church needs to stay on the right track. I'm sure that there are churches out there that where they're at today, they never dreamed they'd be where they're at now. I mean, they'd never dreamed. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about their stand on the Word of God. You see, our position on the Word of God as being God's Word, being the perfect Word of God, being the inerrant Word of God, being the infallible Word of God, that God's Word is all that we need to tell us exactly how to live. And we're to interpret it literally when we read Scripture, and we're supposed to take it seriously. And it does not change with the time frame. See, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. But a lot of these churches, they're not preaching the Word of God anymore. And they're not teaching the Word of God, and they're not standing on the Word of God, because it's a whole lot easier. Now, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier just to get together and sing Kumbaya, you know, and sway, you know, Kumbaya, you know, just to kind of feel, get the warm fuzzies and say, oh, God loves you. You know, you just do whatever you want to do. It really doesn't matter. I mean, it'd be a lot easier and a lot more encouraging at times, but that's not what the Bible says. Now, I'm not worried about Oak Mound straying from the Word of God. If I'm the under-shepherd under God, I know what I'll stand for, and I know what I'll not stand for. So I'm not, but you know, I'm not going to forever be here, you know? I'm not as old as some of these old-timers are, but God's going to take me home at some point. I don't know. I don't have any idea how long God will. Did I insult some people? Let me take that back. I'm not a spring chicken, but you know, there'll come a time, Lord tarries, that I'll not be standing behind the pulpit, and I'll not be standing behind the podium. And there's several things going on in churches right now. I mean, it's number one, there seems to be a very big shortage of preachers in general. And then you narrow it down, preachers that believe this is God's word and will stand for it. That narrows it down even more. And churches are just having a hard time to find men of God that will stand up without apology to say, this is what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. Right here it is. And this is what we're going to stand for. So I really think God is kind of like sounding that alarm. You know, that real revolting sound we hear. And we need to wake up and say, you know what? If we're not careful, down the road, that could happen to Oakmount. And then we get together and we really don't have any substance. All we're doing is talking about experience and, you know, and all this, that, and the other. There's no challenge to the Word of God. There's no right or wrong. There's no standards. You see, we live in a society that wants to do away with all the standards that are. I mean, there's a group of people that don't even believe we have laws in our country that you got to abide by. And we've got politicians that are standing up and saying, that's okay. I just heard a little bit about this squatter thing where people are moving into vacated houses and then the authorities are not kicking them out of those. I mean, you see, when you neglect God, you can't expect everything just to go the way it ought to go. And it's trickling into society and so many of our churches. I'm telling you, it would scare us to know how many churches used to be standing on the Bible and how few today actually are standing on the Bible. It would scare us. And I don't want you to leave here and be all nervous wreck or worried or anything. God's got it all under control, but we need to be aware. We need to be warned. We need to be warned that we need to continue to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to forego the review. I'll do that maybe next week of things we've already looked at. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you remember, Peter is writing to Christians. It says right at the very beginning, do not have to pop that up, Angela, but it says, as Peter writes this, the Apostle Peter writes this, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So clearly, he's writing this to Christians. And he reminds the Christians that the Lord is long-suffering. Remember? The Lord's long-suffering. People say, well, he said he's come back and it's still, you know, it's 2,000 years ago and he's still not come. Well, the reason he hasn't come back is because he's long-suffering. He wants to see souls saved. So don't let that hang you up because God's got the timetable totally under control. But then remember in this chapter, he says the Lord's coming. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 3, we're going to read that. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? As we've gone through this, step by step, looking at what Peter says, he asks the question. It's a rhetorical question. He says, since everything that most of us live for is going to burn up, since all that money in the bank is someday going to burn up, since all these mountains are someday going to burn up, all these houses are going to someday burn up, all these cars are going to someday burn up, all the things that man says is super important is going to burn up, what kind of people are we supposed to be? And Peter knows he's writing to Christians. So, and then he doesn't just leave it there. Then he starts to answer. If you remember, he starts to answer. He said, well, we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to be this. We're supposed to be this. And we're on quite a few of them already. We've already covered. Tonight, we're all the way down to verse 17. And we're going to jump down to verse 17 for the sake of time. How many times did I say that? Not very often. For the sake of time. I said, preacher must be sick. Verse 17, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Wow. Now, you say, what exactly is he saying? I kind of get the general idea. We're looking at God's expectations of us. God expects us to stay on the right track. Amen. And we're going to break down this verse kind of phrase by phrase, okay? Point number one tonight, I'm warning you, Christians. You say, it says in verse 17, ye. He's writing to Christians, right? Ye therefore, beloved. Now he uses that four times in this chapter. We see it in verses 1 to 2. Beloved, be mindful. Beloved, be not ignorant. Beloved, be diligent. Beloved, beware. Right here we see, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before. So he's writing to Christians. These are folks that I love. These are people who I'm on the same side, Peter would say. So I'm warning you, Christians. I'm warning you. You know, I think we need to be warned as Christians. We need to be ever alert. You know, the devil and his demons probably spend more time trying to get the Christian off course or off track than messing with lost souls. Just think about that. Probably the devil and his demons spend more time trying to get you off track, try to get you into error, than he does messing with the devil's crowd, because they're already on his side. I mean, I don't know of a verse that says that. You say, I disagree. That's perfectly fine. But I just say that we got to wake up. We got to be warned. I'm warning you, Christians, as found in this passage of Scripture. And Christians sometimes are real quick to change their view of the Bible whenever someone in their family comes out of the closet or comes out of something in their life and they say, now I believe this. And you're like, You know, it amazes me how smart we think we are as churches. I mean, you know, our forefathers, they wouldn't put up with this foolishness. And our forefathers in the faith, we talked about William Carey, the father of modern missions, he wouldn't put up with a lot of this foolishness that churches are putting up with. But what happens is we let the devil break us down and change what we believe about the Word of God. And it's not all we stand on, but we must stand on the Word of God. I don't care how many people come out in your family and say, I believe this. Well, my best response is, we love you, but guess what? God believes this, and that's where I'm standing. I'm warning you, Christians, first of all. Number two, I'm warning you, Peter could say, I told you so. Because look, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Now, what is knowing the things before? If you look back up at verse 16, you'll see the latter part of that verse. It says, Paul's written some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest. Remember what we talked about, what that means is? That some people are taking the Word of God and twisting it. You know, they're unstable themselves, and they're twisting the Word of God. It says, as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Now, Peter's saying, you know, I've told you. You know these things before. I just wrote it to you. And you know that this can happen. Do you realize that someone in Sunday school can say something that's totally off base and totally unbiblical? Now, I'm not advocating you stand up and point your finger in their face and stomp two or three times. I'm not advocating that, but you need to be aware. And when it becomes a, how am I going to say this? If everybody kind of jumps on that bandwagon and you're there thinking, that's not the right bandwagon to jump on, I think it's time for a man of God or a woman of God to stand up and say, you know what? That's fine and we love you, but that's not what the Bible says. I don't know of a case. I'm not thinking of anything in particular, so don't go home with it. I wonder what the preacher's talking about. I was in Sunday school. I'm not thinking, but I'm telling you, it can happen. I mean, Sunday school is a great time to discuss and ask questions and all that, but if someone says something that's out and out wrong, you know, again, your antennas ought to go up. Ding, because Peter warned us ahead of time. And if we fall into that trap of not standing on the Word of God, you know, Peter can say, told you so. Don't you love those words? Probably four of the most hated words in the English language. I told you so. Of course, my wife would never, ever tell me that. I don't really think she's too bad at that. I don't think she says it. And I don't think I say it too much to her either. But I'm warning you, I can say I told you so. Because you know these things ahead of time. Besides that, you got a crazy preacher from Southern West Virginia standing up right tonight saying, I'm warning you, you got to be standing on the Word of God. God's expectations of us. God expects us to stay on the right track. First of all, I'm warning you, Christians. It's to Christians. Second, I'm warning you. I can say I told you so later if you don't listen. Third, I'm warning you, be on guard. Be on guard. Notice what it says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. Beware. You know, the idea there is be on guard. Be alert. You know, sometimes we're so non-discerning. It's scary. I mean, if you hear someone, I don't care how good they look. I don't care how dressed up they are. I don't care how much they look like they came out of a bandbox. Some of y'all know that expression, right? You familiar with that? No? Have you heard that before? Looks like they stepped out of a bandbox. Oh, no, here we go again. My family has struck again. But what it means is, you know, it doesn't care. You don't care how good they look. If they pull out what they think is their Bible and they start to say things, you got to be discerning. You need to be on guard. I mean, just don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I remember a church back home. My dad and stepmom were going to it at the time. And this guy, I think he must have been personality plus. Because they really liked him. And personality goes a long way, and we should have a decent personality. But he was a blooming liberal. And it came out. I believe the point was, if I remember right, my little pea brain, I think he was questioning the virgin birth. And my dad and my stepmom were like, eh. You know. But see, sometimes because we like somebody, or because they're good looking, or they're charismatic, or they're a good speaker, it's still, whatever they say, regardless of how they look and how intelligent they are, how high their IQ, it's still got to go through the mesh or the filter of God's Word. I don't listen to TV preachers. I know there's some decent ones on there, but there are not too many decent ones on there. But if you listen to those people, I mean, I've had people come up, and I almost brag on some of these people, and I want to say, I figure I have said a little bit, but you know, it's like, do you really realize what they stand for? Oh, I just heard this wonderful message. You know, it's like, and who did you hear it from? And I'm not anti these people, because there's some good ones on television. There's some good ones who are standing on the Word. But whenever they say something, regardless of how good they look or how much they smile or how pleasant they are or whatever, if they say something that's wrong according to the Word of God, guess what ought to happen? You've heard me say this before. Your spiritual antennas ought to go up and say, now, that just doesn't sound right. You know, I've driven cars before. There's so many dashboard lights come on at the same time. You feel like getting tape and just covering it up like the commercial does. Our dashboard lights ought to come on, because they are not preaching and teaching and standing on the Word of God. And whenever we give them a hearing, whenever we send them a dollar in the mail, if they're not standing on the Word of God, we're accountable. We need to make sure that our money, if we're sending it to somebody like that, it ought to start right here. But we ought to make sure that if we're going to support other ministries, that they're ministering in the true doctrine of God's Word. If not, leave them alone. You see, we got to be on guard. And it says, excuse me, it says, beware lest ye also. So Peter's holding out the possibility of the readers of this letter, they could be drawn into the same trap of twisting Scripture, of not accepting the Word of God for what it is and standing on the Word of God. It's possible for each of us to be led away with error. I did a little bit of research. This is really, really important research. Are you ready for my research? You know, I knew that in these westerns that a cowboy, one cowboy stays up all night and rides around the cattle all night. And I looked it up. Some of y'all probably knew this already, but I wasn't exactly sure. From what I understand, that one who spends all night riding around, and they might rotate off, but is called the Nighthawk or a night herder. You say, what's he doing? Well, he's making sure He's making sure that the cows are safe, right? You know what? God wants to make sure that we're safe, but we need to put up our guard and make sure that we're sticking to the Word of God. And part of the reason why people are so whacked out in their doctrine and they get off course is because they don't know what it says in the first place. I know there's a lot to comprehend here, a lot to swallow. But we need to be in the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word of God. And when someone goes against the Word of God, we need to stand up. One of my biggest pet peeves are Christians who are weenies. Weenies. I've seen them all through my ministry. Weenies. I don't think they would stand up for anything. It's like, well, I just hate disagreement in the church. So we don't want to do anything ever to make anybody upset. You know, I'm more concerned about whether I make God upset. And sometimes you got to take a stand. And most of you have been in church long enough, you know that. Sometimes you just got to stand up and say, you know, this is right and this is wrong and this is where we are going to stand. Now, if you can't handle that, that's your choice. But that's where we're going to say, what would be the better alternative? Just letting your church slide into apostasy? Letting a church slide away from the Word of God? Sometimes you just got to stand up and say, this is what we believe. This is what we stand for. We're going to be kind about it. We're going to be loving about it. But by golly, we're going to stand on it. Y'all agree with that? Does anybody agree with me on that? I'm warning you, be on guard, Peter writes. God's expectations of us, he expects us to stay on the right track. First of all, I'm warning you, Christians to Christians, I'm warning you, I can say, I told you so if you don't listen. Third, Peter writes, I'm warning you, be on guard. Fourth, I'm warning you, there's a lawless bunch. There's a lawless bunch. You say, where's that at? It says, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. The wicked. You know, wicked, from what I understand, actually means lawless. Lawless. And if you think about that, you follow that through, lawless. They do not believe there are laws. They do not believe there are standards. They do not believe that there's anything in the Word of God that is a have to or an absolute. You know, there's people like that. Can I tell you that recently there's been a couple high profile people that I've seen on television, maybe playing sports or something, and I look them up. Either I look them up or Amy looks them up or something, and then you find there that they are a professing Christian. But then you read on, and it's like they're involved in some of the whacked out stuff, and it's like, huh? You see, there's a lawless bunch out there. I mean, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus. But don't dare ask me to stand for anything, because I just believe God is a God of acceptance. You know, God opens salvation to everyone, but it's on his conditions. And we're to live according to his standards. Standards is almost a dirty word in churches. Standards, you know, whenever we say that God has standards, he has expectations of us. He knows what he wants us to be and to do and to talk like and to look like. I mean, it's there. If we deny that, we're denying the Word of God. But there's a lawless bunch out there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read 5 verses of that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writing to young Timothy, who's a pastor in Ephesus. Notice what he says. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Okay, that's good to know. We're going to be judged, right? And he says to this preacher, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Preach it all the time. Don't be on and off type of thing. Preach it all the time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see, that's the job of us preachers, really. And that's not why I really went to this passage, but if there's, I might as well comment on it. You say, preacher, you just get way too excited sometimes. Well, you know, I really think God's pretty excited about the condition of our churches sometimes. I mean, really, I think God's pretty upset about the condition of our churches sometimes. And it says that we need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, if you're doing this, that's wrong. Rebuke, you better straighten up or God's going to get after you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. You know what? Exhort. You can do better. That's the job of a preacher, among other things, but that's part of the job of a preacher. And if you have a preacher that doesn't get up and call sin, sin, you need to get another preacher. I mean, honestly, probably one of the biggest churches in our country right now, the guy will not use the word sin. And I better move on. I look over at her, she smiles at me like, in a good way, in a good way. It's a pretty smile. But you say, really? I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people are gathering to this church on Sunday morning to hear a preacher who doesn't even use the word sin. And I've heard this guy in interviews before, Joe Osteen. If you're listening to Joe Osteen, you need to turn him off. You need to burn his books because he's a false prophet.
Amen.
But people gather and they're giving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to this guy. And I heard him. I believe it was Larry King. This was years ago. They asked him, Larry King, he said, so you're saying that a Muslim is not going to go to heaven? You know what that wishy-washy false prophet said? Well, that's just not the message that God has given to me. That's just not the ministry for me to say who is. And oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Now, that's not a direct quote. That's not a direct quote in all fairness. But his point was, I'm not going to address that. Do you know what a Baptist preacher ought to say to that? There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a golden opportunity. And yet we got thousands of people gathering to hear this guy speak. There's a lawless bunch out there. I didn't even finish all this. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I don't know what I ate today, but I guess maybe I better. For the time will come. This is the part I really wanted to get to. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'm telling you, there's preachers that are afraid to preach doctrine and preach something is right and something is wrong because they're afraid they're going to offend Mrs. Jones back there and she's not going to come to church anymore. I'd rather offend Mrs. Jones and stand on the Word of God than offend the God of the universe. It says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. People today, we're so accustomed to getting what we want when we want it that we got people coming to church and if it doesn't, okay, here I am. Feed me, feed me, feed me. He used the word sin. He said that I could be off track and not plotting for Jesus. I'm not going to go back at church. Ain't no way. I mean, we have people like that. I don't know of anybody that said that. I hope everybody comes back. Don't misunderstand me what I'm saying. But I'm saying in this day and age, there's a lawless bunch out there. They don't want to hear anything about responsibility. People are looking at churches not because they stand on the Word of God. They're looking at churches because they have this ministry that's going to scratch my itch. Well, see what happens is, we could offer all kind of ministries, but we need more people that come here and becomes ministers, so to speak, or people that are ministering for the Lord, and we can do some more ministry that scratch people. You see, it's kind of the law of diminishing returns in some ways. I'm going to go there because they're not scratching my itch. Well, we can't scratch your itch because we don't have enough people to put on that ministry. Do you see what I mean? That should never be the criteria of joining a church. Now, we should enjoy our church. I hope you at least tolerate your preacher. I hope that you enjoy Sunday school and prayer meeting. I hope you come and you look forward to it. Absolutely. But we don't go to a church because of what they can do for me. We go to a church because of what we can do for the Lord in that local church. says they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'm telling you, these false preachers, a lot of them are preaching fables. They're not true preachers, but they're speaking fables, let's say. You see, there's a bunch of them out there. And you know, the lawless bunch, they're not content with just being there. They're few. I mean, they want to make us feel bad. You narrow-minded people. You're just too narrow-minded. Don't you know it's 2024? Now, is everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? One of the biggest arguments of people that are blooming liberals, one of the biggest arguments of people that do not believe the Word of God is the Word of God like we do. One of their biggest arguments becomes, they make a cultural argument out of it. And they say, well, the culture today is so much different than it was in Jesus' day. So therefore, since our culture has changed, we don't have to hold to those standards. Can I tell you that God's word supersedes culture? Can I tell you that if we do that, we might as well just take the whole Bible and throw it in the garbage can? Because every single issue we could say, well, they didn't have that back then, or it wasn't as big, and today, and now, you know. There's a lot of issues I could address and talk to you about, but even women and the role of women in churches. Say, preacher, I was with you. Got awful quiet when I said that. But listen. This is to prove a point, not necessarily to make the point, even though I will as we go through. You know, the Bible clearly says for the local church, it's male leadership. Period. There's two offices mentioned in the local church, the pastor and the deacon. And it says husband of one wife. You can't dissect that any other way than husband of one wife. Husband of one wife. It didn't say the wife of one husband. It says the husband of one wife. It says above reproach. It says several other requirements to be a pastor and also to be a deacon. And it talks about basically directing his house well. Men are the ones called to direct and to be the leaders of the home. So it's clear it's talking about men. But people that use this cultural argument says, oh, but we're in 2024. And women can do anything they want to do. Now, I'm going to clarify this. God does not love men more than he loves women. Believe me, there are women who are a lot more spiritual than men are, and a lot more serious. But see, if you try to take that and move that to 2024 and say, oh, well, you know, there's no limitations, you know, and they're taught that in school. And they're taught that in life. You can accomplish anything you want to do. And so it comes in churches sometimes. And they're like, well, why can't I be a deacon? Well, are you a husband? No. Are you a man? Uh-uh. Well, how about being a pastor? How many churches do you go by now and you look at the pastor? It's not Fred, Bob, and Bill anymore. It's Jill, and it's Ellen, and it's Frida, and it's... Now, again, men are not better than women, but God has said there are certain ministries that I have for men because I made them that way, and there's certain ministries for women, and I made them that way. And I think probably one of the biggest things you can get in trouble about saying today in churches is the role of men and women in church. But again, you cannot culturalize the Word of God and say that was 2,000 years ago. We're living in 2024. Because if you do that, you've thrown every single standard out of the Word of God. And say, well, I mean, if you're going to say that, well, homosexuality is accepted in our society today. So we're in 2024. It's okay. It's not okay. Peter here is warning not only the individual, but he's warning the church. He's warning the church. There's a lawless bunch, and they don't want to follow the laws of the land. They don't want to follow the commands of the Bible. They don't want to follow the morality of God. May that not be us. thankful for the standards of God, aren't you? I'm thankful for the absolutes in the Word of God. I'm thankful that every question I have can be answered in the Word of God. There's a lawless bunch out there. I found that out by watching Westerns. About everything I've learned in life, I learned from Westerns and the Bible. I'm joking with that statement, but you realize there's a lawless bunch anytime you're trying to ship gold on a stagecoach. You know, I mean, how many times is that the storyline, right? You know, we're shipping $50,000 in gold on this stagecoach. We're expecting trouble. Guess what? They hit trouble. Some guys with masks and bandanas over their face and their guns and everything. Let me tell you, they're just as dangerous today. Really, they're not robbing stagecoaches, but they're not standing for truth. And some of them are saying, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Watch them. Watch them. They profess, but they don't know Jesus. They're like snakes in the grass. You better be careful. Be careful. Number five, I'm warning you, the lawless bunch is never content either. The lawless bunch is never content. Being led away, it says, with the error of the wicked. And you say, wicked? What's more wicked than messing with God's children? That's pretty wicked. Again, without standards, without absolutes. Misery loves company. You've heard that quite often. So does false teachers and doctrine. They love company. The more, the merrier. Makes them at least feel better about their sins and their falsehoods. Led away. And it's interesting when I read this, it emphasizes a group or corporate movement. Not just an individual, but a whole group being led away. I think one of the most dangerous things we can say as a church, that can never happen to Oak Mound. Don't say it. Never could happen. Now, you do your best to stand diligent, but it can happen. It's happened. It's happened all over the place. Churches led away from God. They're led away from God-centered worship to me-centered worship. That didn't happen overnight. Last time I figured it out, from God's word, when we come to church, we're here to worship God. We're not here to feel good. I feel really good when I sing Standing on the Promises, but I don't have to bebop around and get all emotional, get my hormones all moved up and get all excited and start sweating. And I'm telling you, some of these churches are nothing more than a show. And it's because of us, again, the me-centered part. Where did we lose sight? Worship is for God. Whether I feel good about it or not, we're here to worship God. How come churches have been led away from? I had to look this up because they keep adding letters to it. Where did we get so smart to be led away from the LGBTQIA+? It used to be sin in churches. And it still is sin to God. Now, God, I'll say this quite clearly. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. We are to love the sinner, but hate the sin. But churches have got to the point, I mean, don't tell me it's not happening. We're having denominations split over that. I mean, that ought to be a no-brainer. You say, well, let me see here. God's word, let me think about that. Yep, God's word's against it. It's sin. Just like that. So what led us astray? Well, we got a wicked bunch that wants to lead us astray. We need to be in God's word. We need to know God's word. We need to stand on God's word, regardless of what the society may say. Believe me, when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, did you follow popular opinion down there? Did you follow popular opinion down there? He's going to say, did you follow my word? Last point, I'm warning you, stay on the right track. It says it's possible that you can fall from your own steadfastness. This is not talking about losing your salvation. Two different Greek words. One is the noun that's here. There's a verb that's used in Scripture as well. It means or speaks of stability, but literally means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. So to turn resolutely in a certain direction. So I think kind of what the idea is that we need to be steadfast. We need to be resolute. And I'm going to stay on it. It kind of goes along with what we'll be talking about in the morning, plotting. We're going to stay on the track that God has for us. It's a biblical track. This is used in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, this same word. Notice what it says. It says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he, that's Jesus, should be received up. That's talking about getting near the end of his life. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The idea there, the word is actually translated steadfastly set. So you and I, guess what? We need to make sure that we're resolved and we're set on the right track and the right way of thinking about the Word of God. We need to be resolute in a certain direction. You know, I think wrongfully sometimes we assume that everybody in our churches are as conservative as we are. Now, there's room for growth, and there's room for maturity. And I'm not talking about any area of conservatism other than biblically conservative, standing on the Word of God. But let me tell you, don't assume just because we look good and we comb our hair pretty and we brush our teeth and we don't even smell too bad certain times that we're all in the same wonderful, I believe the Word of God, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I mean, there's a variety in a church sometimes. Once you get to talking about certain things, there's a variety of ideas. But let me tell you what, I'm going to stand on God's idea. I'm going to make sure that I'm resolutely on the right track. How many Christians have got off the track? Got off the right track by not sticking to the Word of God? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. You could ask the question, what are we supposed to be established or resolute in? It says in a certain direction. 2 Peter chapter 1, same book of the Bible, verse 12 says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established, that's a pretty good word, don't you think? Be established, same idea there, same Greek word, established in the present truth." Present truth? This is the present truth. It's the Word of God. It's not what the preacher says. It's not what the Sunday school teacher says. It's not what your best friend says. It's not what your fellow church member says. It's not what the TV preacher says. It's what God says. We got to make sure that we're on the right track, lest we fall from our own steadfastness on the Word of God. This was pretty good. I couldn't help but share this. Will Rogers, who was a comedian and a philosopher of sorts, he says, "Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there." I thought that was pretty good. That won't cost you any extra. I just thought that was pretty good. Even if you are on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. So we need to make sure that we're on the right track, resolutely sticking to the Word of God, being steadfast in the Word of God. Now, I believe the time is actually right here that we Christians stand up for the truth of God's Word. We need to stand up for the truth of God's Word in society, at our jobs, at our schools. I think we need to stand up for the truth of God's Word in our churches. Don't let down. Don't let down. Don't say, you know what, I can never stray from the Word of God. Yes, you can. You can. I hope you've drawn a line in the sand, so to speak, and said, I will not neglect the Word of God. I will not get away from the Word of God. I will believe the Word of God. I will literally translate the Word of God and understand what it says. I'll stand for it. If the world's for it, that's okay. If God's Word's against it, I'm still against it. Hopefully that's you. But don't think it can't happen to you. And don't think it can't happen to Oakmount. I hope that everybody here makes up your mind. I am going to stand on the Word of God. I am going to stand on the Word of God. I don't care how many people disagree with me. I'm going to be kind, but I will stand on the Word of God. You know, we hear that warning sound, that I'm sounding the warning sound. Our society is not getting better. churches are way off course. They're way off the right track because they compromise just a little bit. They say, well, I will compromise on that a little bit. We'll compromise a little bit more. Before long, they're so far off track, they don't even resemble the church they used to be. May that never be Oak Mount Evangelical Church. May we stick to the Word. May we stand on the Word of God. Again, I want to, do you realize you don't have to worry about me getting off track with the Word of God in Oak Mount, because I'm very much aware that I'm only ever give an account to the Lord. Scripture is very clear. The pastor will give account of how he led the church. And I'm not saying that in cockiness. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I got my line drawn in the sand. I've got my mind made up. I'm sticking to the Word of God. Amen. Hopefully you have that same resolve. I want to make God happy, even if at times it makes people unhappy. I want to make God happy. God has a perfect will. I want to find it. I want to follow it. I want to do whatever it is to His glory. Amen. Every single time. How about you? We're going to sing a song, How Firm a Foundation. If God is speaking to your heart, I don't believe anybody here says, well, I'm a blooming liberal and I don't believe anything you've said. I don't believe that. But I hope that you've been challenged to be aware that there are people that want to get us off course. They're everywhere. Lawless bunch, lawless preachers, quote preachers, people that profess to be this, that, or the other, and they're not standing on the Word of God. Be very, very, very careful. Maybe, as we sing How Firm a Foundation, it's talking about the Word of God. Maybe God will speak to your heart and say, you know what? You need to come to the altar and just say, God, keep me founded. Keep me on the right track. Keep me on the Word of God. Even if the whole planet goes crazy away from God, I'm going to stick to God and His Word. If that's you, the altar is open. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, the Lord could come back at any moment. I'd encourage you, if you're listening in and you don't know Jesus, call out to Him right now sincerely from the heart. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. I believe Jesus died for me as the Son of God on the cross, paid for my sin debt, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. And if you really mean that from your heart, it's not the words. If you really mean that from your heart, call out to God, you can be saved wherever you are. All I ask is that you listen to what God is telling you to do tonight. Would you? Let's pray. Dear God, we commit this invitation to you now. Lord, may we be reminded always that we need to stick on the Word of God. Lord, it's not always easy. It's controversial sometimes. And sometimes we might offend people a little bit. But Lord, maybe sometimes a whole lot. But Lord, this is your book. You wrote it. It's truth. And Lord, regardless of what the world might do, or regardless of what anybody around us might do, Lord, may we as individuals and may we as a church here at Oak Mount always stand on